Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to Bibi Aisha Lahir on News Talk on Radio Islam International, Meter Wave 1548, and simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Alhamdulillah, I have a 2-hour slot today, but I think what's all the information that has been shared with me and my listeners by Hafiz Rafiq Mayat and Molana Nimbada from the Crescent of Hope Health Centers has left me speechless to a point. We're talking about teenagers and drugs. And, you know, a lot of the information that has been shared already for the past hour, you know, we're hoping that our listeners can educate and empower themselves, educate and empower the youth. And after all, you know, the youth are in amana bestowed upon us to Allah, and we are answerable for their behavior. And, you know, we need to monitor and ensure that they are being involved with the right company, living wholesome lives, and staying away from vices. Just before the news break, we spoke about, you know, the levels of aggression and violence that has been displayed by teenage users on their family members, on parents, and it is horrific. It is really horrific. The other thing that is alarming society right now is the shocking videos and photographs and information that is doing the rounds on social media about the drug flecker. So what is flecker? Has it hit the shores of South Africa as yet? Is this a hoax? Is this real? Hafiz Rafiq, would you care to elaborate, please?
Inshallah. You know, I think flecker has become a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thousands of videos being bombarded on the internet showing users and normal people in a state of panic and hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people who use flecker, you know, are left unable to talk, and they don't have any idea what's going on around them. So like they say, you know, when a person takes that type of a drug, he become a danger to himself and become a danger to people around him.
Mm-hmm.
We heard of the recent case in Durban where a guy who took flecker, I mean, he bit a chunk of somebody's arm off. Okay?
Allah.
It's a very, very, very dangerous drug.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know what flecker is, mm-hmm. you know, flecker is a synthetic designer drug. Okay? It is man-made stimulant. Okay? The street name is called gravel because of its white crystal-like chunks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Flecker belongs to a group of synthetic drugs. You know, it's called cathinones.
Mm-hmm.
Called cathinones. In short, it's alpha PVP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a type of a drug that can be used in many different ways. It can be smoked, it can be snorted, it can be injected, and now it can be also vaped. That means you can they can melt and put into a vape as well,
mm-hmm.
smoking an e-cigarette as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but very important to understand, flecker creates severe hallucinations, paranoia, anxiety, insomnia, psychosis. It comes to a stage where it can lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very dangerous drug. Why a person, you know, flecker, the high of flecker is just a few hours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it lingers on. What I mean is a person will hang for a couple of days. It could take up to 3 to 4 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Side effects of flecker, absolutely very, very dangerous. You know, on the psychiatric side, it creates, like I say, you know, hallucinations, anxiety, paranoia,
mm-hmm.
extreme aggression, very, very violent behavior.
Mm-hmm.
The physical side, you know, it raises the body temperature, it causes dehydration, muscle breakdown, kidney failure. Like I say, a person who's full-time on flecker, it come to a stage for the rest of his life, he'll have to be on dialysis. On the cardiac side, you know, rapid heart rate, high blood pressure can cause stroke and death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a drug that I don't think people can play with.
Mm.
I don't think people can even try it. You know, it's because it's totally synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Dangers is like our concern is that if it has to hit our shores or maybe the Gauteng area, you'll actually need security guards in a rehab facility.
Mm-hmm.
Need us in our areas because the youth will have absolutely no control on it.
Yes, it's so dangerous. I think what has been very scary, being an educator, you know, we've been inundated with videos and messages and pictures of sweets that children commonly like buying, you know, maybe from outside vendors, you know, obviously not brand names, but outside vendors, you know, they like these sugar-coated jellies or they like these little sweets that they can suck on. And, you know, there's been pictures of where people claim that there are traces of flaca on there. So again, you know, a lot of panic amongst parents, amongst educators, amongst family members, that, you know, telling their children, just don't take sweets from anybody, don't just buy from anybody. So, you know, there's a lot of fear in the community right now about this drug and the fact that, you know, young children are being targeted. So if you could just tell us a bit more about that.
You know, flaca comes in a white powder form. That's why they give the street name is called gravel.
Yes.
Okay. So it's very easy if for them to promote it, or for the dealers or for the cartel to promote it, it's very easy.
Mm.
All you have to do is dip it. Okay. But you know, Vivesh, our another concern is that we haven't literally seen. I mean, flaca.
Mm.
We haven't literally seen how it looks. Okay, we'll only see it maybe in a behavior once it hits, you know, our areas.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like they say, for the important, even crystal meth, people can dip it into any jelly.
Yes.
You know, like we heard somebody said, in one of the areas they found it in one of the, you know, like this, you get these salts from these franchises.
Yes.
It was put in one of those packets, but literally we haven't seen it. But it can be dipped in any type of sweet, and it can be consumed. Dealers can do that to market it, yeah.
Yes, yes. But I mean, it's just good to know, you know, inshallah, I mean, we pray that, you know, our youth stay away from all of this, but, you know, it's important to be empowered, you know, for parents to be, you know, alert and aware of what is going on outside.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. Mulana, would you like to add on?
I would. I agree with Afiz Rafiq there that we have seen all the videos and all the hysteria on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm probably dreading to see a patient come to me live on that high, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After having seen those videos, I wonder how we would be able to contain them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is shocking is that the composition of this flaca is so much, or rather frighteningly similar to your bath salts.
To your, okay, bath salts? The common bath salts that people normally just give as gifts? I mean, it's,
yes,
available in supermarkets everywhere.
Absolutely. So it's frighteningly similar in composition to that. The question that I would like to ask, which,
yes,
probably be a precursor for the rest of our discussion, is why? I mean, you take a handful of bath salts and throw it in your little bathtub, so,
mm,
to bubble the water.
Yes.
Why would you want to ingest this to bubble your brain? You know, 90% of the users of flaca, I said, they won't make it through the first high. So they won't last the 72 hours. Now, why would you want to pay money to take something that you're probably not even going to live through?
Exactly.
I mean, have we all become suicidal?
Yes.
You know, would you just take anything and shove it into your mouth because it's, Afiz Rafiq is telling you it's going to blow your kidneys, it's going to take your heart rate to... So there's so much of you know, side effects and,
mm-hmm,
bad effects and... repercussions, yet people would take this. The question is why? Well, what have we come to as a society whereby we would shove anything up our nose or our lungs just to have a little buzz, and we don't even know if we're going to make it through that buzz?
Yes, yes. And like you say, you haven't seen a patient, you know, come to,
yes,
your facility as yet, and you're obviously dreading it, because I know when you look at,
absolutely,
those videos, you actually ask yourself, hey, is this a hoax? Did somebody make this up, or is this real? Because it is scary. It is very scary. And the fact that, you know, there's constant information going around that, you know, young children are being targeted, it's just frightening. So all the more reason for our listeners, you know, again, like we said, nice holiday time, you're going around with your children, you're going on picnics, you're going to malls, you're going with family members, just please observe your children all the time. Keep them close to you. Hold their hand. Watch what they're doing. Look at what they're eating. You know, keep reinforcing. Don't talk to strangers. Don't take things from strangers. It's a very, very scary period.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's absolutely no joke trying to bring up children in the present society and times we live in. Obviously, we live in the last of times. This is Akhir al-Zaman.
Yes.
These are all the signs of Qiyamah.
Yes.
The powers that be, it suits them absolutely to keep the youth zombatized. So they don't become conscientious of things around them.
Yes.
They're in such a stupor that people can usurp and do what they want to and have all the wealth of the world, and you have a whole generation that's dependent on some sort of chemical which they're supplying, you know.
And this is our youth. Like I said, youth is our future generation, and, you know, what happens to the rest of us.
But Mulana, 100%.
I just need to ask you, you know, in the centers that, you know, you were at the Tadjiad Girls Facility, Hafez Rafiq is at the Mukhalifat Health Center, you know, what sort of Islamic program is followed during the detox process? Because after all, you know, we need to remind our youth that turn to Allah, repent for your mistake, but turn to Allah, use Allah as your compass, you know, and move forward knowing that Allah will not be pleased with this behavior.
Absolutely. We have realized a long time ago that there's absolutely no rehabilitation without reconnection.
Yes.
Understand? The basis of our program here is, look, we take people of all denominations, all religions, all backgrounds, but we are run on Islamic ethos. And number two is that our programs are based on reintroducing them to Allah, reconnecting to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Absolutely. You know, I mean, we just spoke now that we tell our children, don't take from strangers any sweets, don't do this, don't do that, be careful of that, stay away from that. But this is what the whole deen is about.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the do's and the don'ts. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by giving us the most immaculate, the most perfect, the most excellent example. لَقَدْ قَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So we need to introduce them to the beauty, to the excellence, to the perfection of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam's legacy. You know, it's a list of do's and don'ts in every sphere of life. If you go into a school, you get admission into a particular school, there's going to be a set of rules. There's going to be, you understand? So we try to bring them. You know, I think at most times in our day, we probably sound like MTN adverts, you know, get connected, get connected, get connected. What we make them understand is you can have the best iPhone, you can have thousands of rands for data, but if you are not connected, you have no connection, you're going to make no call.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? So you need to get connected. You have to need to be connected to the right network. And then, well, what's your uncle? So, but this is the basis. Although we follow the internationally acclaimed 12-step program, which most rehabs follow, we have obviously just reshaped it and redesigned it to take on a full Islamic flavor. Obviously, this is the cornerstone of it. Allah is Muqallib al-Qulub. He's the owner of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah only can turn the heart back.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if your child is on there, make dua, turn to Allah. You know, at one of the support groups one night, the guys were sitting and they're looking for sponsors, somebody to phone if the trading is coming at 1, 2 in the morning, etc. And perhaps more than half of the guys said, I'm going to phone Molana, I'm going to phone Molana.
Yes.
So I think I got a bit scared. You know, I thought, shoo, that's 3 dozen phone calls coming at 3 hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, look, guys, can I tell you a sponsor that's even better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go down on your prayer mat and talk to Allah.
Yeah.
He's listening, and especially at those times of the morning. And one of the parents actually got so annoyed, he banged the table, he got up, he said, you know, this is what I hate. You see, you Molanas come here and make it seem as if Allah is going to come down from the heaven to help this boy.
Yes, course,
you know, don't
give him a chance.
And I thought in my heart, wallahi, if Allah doesn't help them, who's going to help?
Of course. And you know, also, you know, I've done a few motivational talks with Brother Rafiq, and, you know, we've met with recovering addicts, and we forget that, you know, when a child, when a teenager is involved with substance abuse, for this teenager, he or she is going through what he or she is going through, they don't realize that this creates a ripple effect in your home, in your family. Your parents are hurting. Your siblings are hurting. Your extended family is hurting. To see parents at a support group and looking in their faces, looking at their eyes, watching mothers crying, watching grandmothers making dua and they're saying, Ya Allah, why are we faced with this? And the user doesn't realize that what you're doing, that one hit that you had or that few minutes of a high that you had, you don't realize, like I said earlier, the repercussions. And you know, it's a way of coming closer to Allah, it's reconnecting with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving Allah. Allah will forgive you, but you cannot keep doing this. Like, again, what about the users who overdosed? They didn't get a second chance.
Absolutely.
So the youth that are fortunate to have parents who took them to rehab centers, whether it was kicking and screaming or whether it was, okay, mommy and daddy, I need help now. They need to show shukr, they need to make shukr to Allah, they need to show gratitude to their parents that they have people who actually care for them, who are making dua for their shifa, and who are praying that their children stay on sirat al-mustaqim. So, you know, we need to not forget the support, and we're going to get to the support group just now. But Mulana, we can't thank you enough for the valuable input that you shared with us, but please just stay on the line. Hafiz Rafiq, your words of advice to our young listeners when it comes to choosing good friends, when it comes to being assertive, overcoming peer pressure, and staying drug free.
You know, Aisha, before I get to the peer pressure part, and something I want to add on what Maulana said. Alhamdulillah, he covered the whole Islamic perspective.
Yes.
You know, but if you go to any rehab facility in the world, the first thing they instill in you is spirituality. Okay? So Alhamdulillah, you know, we have Allah Ta'ala, we have Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when any patient come in, if you sit with him, the first thing he will tell you, you know, Uncle Rafiq, you know, I need to reconnect. Okay? And one brother used it very, very nicely where he stated, you know, he's been clean now for quite a few years. He always calls the JK in Mahalisburg a generator. You know, normally a generator, you normally switch it on when you're in lights out, when you're in darkness.
Yes.
Okay? So they say, you know, I found my light in the JK. Okay? Once I started reconnecting, it gave me the inner peace that I required. So very important. So we need to understand, we have Allah, we have our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we need to understand is that when a person lives a life accordingly, you will, that won't influence you.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, you're talking about peer pressure. You know, peer pressure is something that I think every youngster get involved with. You know, I was reading a book on Hazrat Mufti Hazan Gangoli Rahmatullah Ali. You know, he says a beautiful thing. You know, he reckons that there's three reasons for spiritual retrogression.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he stated there was inappropriate company, a person who keep company of people who do wrong. Two, he said, a person who consumes haram. And three, he said, a person who has a habit of sinning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, peer pressure, you know, we need to understand our children go to school.
Yes.
Our children are on social media. Our children are watching TV. Our children are watching all these things. And they want to be like that. Okay? And they want to fit in. You know, a lot of the guys that come here from school or come to us from varsity, they say, you know, we have to fit in to the group. We need to do what the group does.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding that you have your own faculty for you to decide, do you want to do what the group is doing?
Mm-hmm.
But they fit in. And the peer pressure, we need to understand, is, you know, it is there. It's going to be very difficult to stop. It's very difficult to tell a youngster, you know what, avoid your friends.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Is it that he needs to have the ability to be strong-minded enough to say that, you know, if friends are doing wrong, keep away.
Yeah. Yes. And then asking yourself that, you know what, would my parents be happy if I do this? Would Allah be happy with me if I do this?
Yeah.
That is what we need to make sure of.
Today is Bibi Aisha, they have an itch, man. And the problem is they don't know where to scratch it. And if they can't scratch it in their homes, they're going outside and trying to scratch and ease that itch. And sometimes land up in the wrong company of who helps them scratch that itch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realize that, you know, hey, you know, if you had this problem, why didn't you talk to me?
Yeah.
A child didn't have the ability to talk to anybody at home relating to that itch. So the main concern is that it's our responsibility on a daily basis, talk to our kids. Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
How was your day? What are you doing? Is something effective? Is something troubling you? Is somebody bullying you at school?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on?
Yeah.
We need to know our children well. Huh?
Definitely. We're just going to break for an ad. We're going to break for an ad, inshallah, Malana. and Hafiz Rafiq, we're going to return after the air break, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again to my beloved listeners on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, TSTV 826, as well as to our listeners on Sirius FM 105.7. It has definitely been a Saturday morning that has been educating and empowering for myself, and I'm sure for my beloved listeners. We're talking about teenagers and drugs, and we have Hafiz Rafiq Mayat, Maulana Muhammad Riyaz Limbada from the Crescent of Hope Health Centers in Mahalisburg and Didier, and we've been talking about substance abuse, drugs that are around today, effects of substance abuse, warning signs for parents, what goes on at the rehabilitation facility. And now we come to the last part of the process, which is, I would say, the most important part, support and recovery. I've been very fortunate over the past few years that Brother Rafiq has invited me a few times to be a guest speaker or a motivational speaker at some of the support groups in Johannesburg and surrounding areas. And looking in the eyes of mummies and daddies and brothers and sisters of recovering addicts, and looking at them and listening to their plea to their loved one to say, please stop doing what you're doing. For Allah's sake, please stop doing what you're doing, is a very humbling experience. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants all of us hidayat ila min taqwa, and we follow, and you know, the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and dominate your nafs. I know we're living in a time where there's a lot of stress. Children are not growing up in an environment that you and I may have grown up. With technology, you know, the abuse of technology, that's what I should say, and with everything just becoming so available today, children are inundated with information, and not many times the information is not correct, and it is scary out there. The harsh reality is drugs are here to stay, but as a community, what are we going to do about it? Remember again, our youth are an amana given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are answerable for their actions, and what are we going to do to ensure that our youth try their best to remain drug free? So we're going to be speaking now to Sister Femida, who is in charge or who runs the Houghton Support Group for Recovering Substance Abuse Addicts. She's going to explain to us the importance of aftercare and support. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Femida, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam, shukran to Aisha. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners as well. I must, however, say I'm really privileged and honored to be in your company, and I really take this honor to be able to speak to something that I'm so passionate about.
We are honored to have you as a guest. I've listened to you, I've heard you or seen you in action, and if you can explain to our listeners, what is support and aftercare, and how important is it for a recovering addict?
Alhamdulillah, like Maulana Limbada in his talk earlier mentioned, that when an addict is summoned to a rehab, parents and loved ones then has taken the first step in doing that. Mm-hmm. But when, because of this disease being acknowledged and treated, and the first step is taken into administering them into a rehab, what happens thereafter? There is no quick fix in the 6-week period that they are at a rehab, at a facility. Yes. So once they've walked out of that facility, there has to be some sort of maintenance being followed. And the best support that an addict can get and maintain the tools that he has been equipped with at a rehab is to take care of his recovery, and by attending aftercare groups or support groups or going to meetings, that is where he is going to find his help and be able to integrate into society and be able to work through his whole program thereafter.
You know, for your very young users or recovered addicts, inshallah, you know, the teenagers, obviously we make dua for their shifa, when they you know, are in a rehabilitation facility. How important is it for parents while their children are away for that 6-week period or for whatever period that they are away at the rehab facility? How important is it for parents to be given support and to be prepared for when their child comes back?
A very good question. Yes, Priyasha, that is the most important thing. As parents and as loved ones,
mm-hmm.
we need, yes, the educator's problem, but the entire family, the entire loved ones are also suffering with them,
mm-hmm.
and they need to empower themselves. They need to educate themselves once they have come out of that facility. How then do we support them?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, parents and loved ones need to attend meetings, need to attend support groups, need to find out how and where to withdraw the line, how the boundaries need to be set down with them. And yes, again, like Rafiq and Molana had mentioned earlier, it is so important to have communications with your family and the addicts themselves, so we understand their journey and where they're coming from, so we can assist them in different areas as well.
Yes.
And one of the things that we, that as parents can do, is help them and make sure that they are getting the help that they need thereafter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And often, you know, we focus so much. You know, sometimes I've met siblings who say, you know, my mother or father only focuses on, okay, say for example, let's just say Rafiq, I'm just using him as an example. My mother only focuses on Rafiq. My father only focuses on Rafiq because he had this problem. What about us? We are also their children. You know, we also have a life. And we often forget that when we have a child, a teenager that has a problem with substance abuse, you have other children as well. Life doesn't revolve only around that child, and it's taxing for the entire family.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is why it is so important that a family as a unit, this is teamwork at the end of the day. So each sibling will have their share and their part towards this type of recovery. And yes, when there is an addict in the family, the entire focus is given to the addict himself,
mm-hmm.
and parents then in the interim forget about the other siblings, about their progress, about their happening, and it has a great impact on the other little ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when parents do attend these meetings and these support groups and educate themselves, they are then empowering the other siblings as well to deal with what they are faced with in their home.
And I think also very important would be if there's other family members that are there. I mean, you know, a mother of one recovering addict talking to another mother. Only one mother can understand the pain of the other mother. Only, you know, when everyone comes together, you realize that you are not going through this process in isolation.
Yes, most certainly. We then, when families come together, do they then realize it? This is a problem all over, and yes, a problem shared is a problem halved. So definitely when you come into a group like that, you understand that other people also have a same situation,
mm-hmm.
and how other people learn and take and empower themselves from other people's situations as well. And some things work for some parents, others won't. Like we say, different strokes for different folks.
Yes.
And yes, certainly, by coming together, we pick up and we realize how much more we can do to help the others that are around there that need the help.
Yes. How often do you recommend meetings with family members and recovering teenagers?
Meetings. They say 90 meetings for 90 days.
Mm.
Yes. As many meetings as possible, but at least one meeting a week is great. The more meetings one attends, the better it is for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It is a disease, it's a sickness. If a family is afflicted with some sort of sickness, we make every effort and every strength to go out and get the help. This is a disease that has come into certain homes. And as family and as a unit, if we try and assist the family member that is suffering with this and make things happen for them by firstly encouraging the patient to keep connected with Almighty Allah, most merciful, and performing this salah, helping them get integrated into the community and into the society as well, helping them perform reading the Quran, And by doing these things, it will open up their pathways and help them attend meetings with so that they themselves can be empowered.
Sure.
And then as a family, we can also adjust our schedules so that we can help them regulate to attend as many meetings as possible.
Yes, most definitely. Inshallah, may Allah reward you all for the sterling work that you are doing in serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah. Sister Fahmida, I need to ask you, as a support group, what outreach programs do you have for the general public? You know, people who just want to be there for other families.
The support group that we do currently is, our main focus is to help and assist those the addicts themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It is a platform where they come out and share their inner feelings and their emotions so that they can identify with the others that are around them. And it has brought a great amount of success for them to realize that, you know what, I'm not alone in this journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not walking this alone.
Yeah.
There are others that have walked through this, and yes, I can relate to the person that is sitting next to me.
Yes.
However, we do there's group counseling that people can go to and attend. There's individual therapy that also makes a huge difference, because that is when most of the underlying issues, and then they can check on and identify where the problem is and deal with it and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is group counseling, individual therapy, then there is outpatient programs as well, where people can go, be at work, enjoy what they're doing during the day, and yet attend other programs at their time and flexible hours as well.
And the general public, if they just want to attend meetings like today was a show for empowerment. So if some member from the public just wants to attend your meetings just to empower him or herself, they're welcome to do so?
Absolutely, absolutely. At any given time, people are welcome to attend our meetings, our group sessions, wherever it may be, and how many ever times they wish to attend. Yes, and with empowering themselves, they can go out and help others as well.
Okay. So, Sister Fahmida, before we end our interview with you, if you could just give our listeners your contact details, please.
My telephone number is 076-164-8850.
Can you just repeat that for us, please?
076-164-8850.
Any last message that you would like to share with our listeners?
I'd like to leave you with a little quote that drug addiction is not a kind of illness, but a disease in which if the family members get the help, the drug addict will also make a success. So please, family and parents and friends, go out and help and support your addicts and your loved ones, and open up those communication skills for them so you can understand them better and make a better future for them as well.
Inshallah, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for the amazing work that you are doing. And Jazakumallah khairan for taking the time to come onto the show today.
Ameen. Jazakumallah so much for this time.
Barakallahu feekum. Mawlana Azim Bada, if you could just give us quickly your last bits of advice. We're going to be ending the show in the next 5 minutes. So if you could just share a message with our youth out there, please.
Alhamdulillah, look, this is a very, very deep, very intense topic that we had endeavored to try and discuss and enlighten people about. We basically scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to it. There's so much involved. All the underlying, like the upper just mentioned now, etc. But I think in a nutshell, to end, I want to maybe just quote a little
Maulana, sorry, can I just interrupt you there, please? We have Maulana Suleiman Mullah who's on the line and he wants to just speak on the program. Maulana Suleiman Mullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, sister. And assalamu alaikum to Maulana Limbada and Hafiz Rafiq.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair for this topic. I have worked very closely with Hafiz Rafiq on multiple instances.
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal capacity, we're always trying to assist and help our youth out there. And Maulana Limbada is also a very dear friend of mine. So I just wanted to share two, three things.
Sure.
One is that, you know, that we need to realize, and I often say to youth who come to me with whom I interact, life by its very nature is challenging. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We've created man in challenges. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is coming out of any type of dependence or habit-forming thing, even if it's not something which creates, you know, your creates a dependence or alters your mind or is of a substance nature. If a person has a simple habit of eating a chocolate after a meal, for him to wean himself off that is not a simple ask. It's a tall order. It's a challenging thing. The point I'm trying to impress upon is that when we invoke the help of Allah, it doesn't mean that now you look at a drug and you won't have a crave. It wouldn't mean that you meet with your friends and you won't have that yearning. But rather it means that despite that crave and despite that addiction, Allah will give you the strength to resist it. And I think this is the key thing we need to understand. So often youth would say, but I'm asking Allah, but nothing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So asking Allah is never going to take you to a level where the challenge will not be a challenge. And the ulama tell us, the crave of evil is not evil. Come to the grave is evil. So if we've come out of the addiction, but the grave continues, that's not a problem. We never aspire to fast in Ramadan without feeling hungry. That grave is going to be there. Ramadan is that. Fasting is that. It's going to be there with you forever. So we're never going to reach a level where sin is not going to be attractive to us. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَةِ. That sense of attraction is intrinsic to us. So I think it's very important where youth become despondent. They say, yeah, but I'm making so much dua. Yesterday I was speaking to a person and he was also asking for some help and I was advising him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to know that you cannot marry both where we continue the life of sin and want the pleasure of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be tough. It has to be decisive. You've got to do it. Grab the bull by the horn and that's it. So it's going to come with your withdrawals, with your aggression, with your emotions, with your fluctuations. And we need to understand that. And like the Arabic poet said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يُتِقْ صَدْرًا وَكَتْمًا لِسِرِّهِ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَ الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. That it is better to crush your ego and live a new life than succumb to your ego and allow it to give you a death every day for the rest of your life.
Yes.
So you go through, you die 10 times a day because your fantasy, your crave, your yearning, your friends, your habits, your inclinations, your restlessness, it kills you every minute. The better thing is to rise beyond that. You kill that ego and thereafter you live. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. That oblige to the order of Allah and you will live a life. So my message to the youth out there is that by you seeking the help of Allah, it's if you expecting that now you'll see a drug and nothing's going to happen to you, if you've got a womanizing habit, you're going to see the opposite gender and you're not going to be attracted, you're living in a fool's paradise.
Yes.
That's not what he's meant. That is really not. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah says he'll keep the believer firm with the kalima in this world. And the scholars write that it doesn't mean if you're a believer and you are obedient, Allah is not going to test you. But rather what it means, during your test, Allah will give you strength to be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to know this clearly, because youth come back, no, but I've tried, I've made so much dua. Correct. It's not going to reach a level where it won't be a temptation. It will be a temptation for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
as long as you don't succumb to it,
yeah.
That is key.
Mulana, may I please ask you? No, not at all. I just need you to please share a message with the families, with the parents, with the mummies, with the daddies. You know, we've seen them cry. You know, words of encouragement to them, please.
Sister, I have seen so many crying.
Mm-hmm.
And Hafiz Rafiq knows, and I have been to places, I've been in the mother calling me early in the morning and going to the prison to go and rescue her son, because unfortunately he has been caught up in things. In two things in my life I've seen, you know, the most amazing miracles.
Gee.
One is counseling in marriages where the couple leaves, it's completely rocky, it's turbulent, it's really bad, you think there's no hope, it's on the verge of breaking up. But like I say, time and sabr can heal things that are inconceivable. And often that happens with marriages where you think the hope is completely out, but at the time when you almost like think there's no hope, suddenly there's such a positive turn and the couple is back together.
Yeah.
And again, the same thing has happened with youth. I know it's not easy, and I said that's precisely when I was hearing Hafiz Rafiq saying that it's not easy to tell our youth to stay away from peers. He's talking out of experience.
Mm.
Any person who might not be inexperienced will say, no, 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 just tell the boys, don't mix with friends. As simple as that, and it's over.
Yes.
Either his children have crossed that mark or they're too small. So he's not hands-on. He's not pragmatic. He's not talking the reality on the ground. If you're talking the reality on the ground, unfortunately, our children slip out before we twitch our eye and they're gone. So my consolation to the parents out there is that, you know, this is a really, really challenging. I mean, I've heard a parent say to me, Yalla, if my son is going to continue like this and he's going to risk his iman, I'm asking you take him away from this world, Allah. No parent in any point would ever want to lose a child. That's the most daunting test.
Yes.
But can you imagine the point of desperation? There's a father who came to me and he said, Maulana, has Allah stopped answering the du'as of parents? I said, no, 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 brother, please don't say that. Please take your words back. But it was his point of desperation. Today, with the grace of Allah, his son has rehabilitated. He's very stable. Alhamdulillah, he's come out clean.
Yes.
So it's the brutal truth, the crude reality is there is no quick fix. There is no quick fix. I say to these people, it's not a thing I can give you a penicillin or a panado or an injection. Hafiz Saab and Maulana will tell you it's a long road.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we are, you know, they say it's you're better off walking in the right direction than running in the wrong direction.
Yes.
So even if we inching, you know, a person who's losing weight and he's not so disciplined, if he hops onto the scale after 3 weeks, and as long as he hasn't picked up a kilo, even he sighs with relief. Although he hasn't really lost anything, but just to know he hasn't gained anything.
Mm.
So as long as we are moving in the right direction, there's hope. But if we're going back to our friends, we're asking for the impossible. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I think these tough questions, our youth need to know. When that man made the kill those 99 people and he went to the pious person, the first thing he said, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن فيها أناس يعبدون الله ولا ترجع إلى أرضك فإنها أرض سوء. Listen, your first point of Tawbah is you need to now leave that company totally. Because if you're going back, you're allowing for that evil to grow within you. So my encouragement to the parents, don't give up hope. Allah knows best, and inshallah, Allah will turn your tears of pain into tears of joy. I've seen parents cry that it made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
But I promise you, at that time, that child's got his blocked off. He's completely barred off. There's no level of sanity, guilt, consciousness, alertness, focus, appreciation, nothing. He's under that influence so much. So inshallah, we hope, pray and wish, and it has happened. Youth that have been completely out, Allah has rehabilitated.
Yes.
The second challenge I want to say very quickly is when they come out, we need to employ them.
Mm-hmm.
We really need, and I'm throwing this out to the corporate, I've been saying this in few of my other talks as well, is that we go through the whole process, they come out of there, the wife is tired, she doesn't want to make the home, he's coming out, he's not in an employable capacity, he's earning pittance, she's like giving it 3 rounds, he feels, give me the last chance, this time I'm clean. But nobody wants to take them into their work environment because they're not so productive, they've been out of the working environment, it's more of a liability and asset. So the program entails bringing them back on board and trying and giving them some employment and stability so that we can bring them back in. Because we can put them to the most rigorous treatment there, but if we don't allow them and employ them there, then the cycle is going to bounce back at us.
Yes.
That's the second thing. And the last thing I'm saying to the youth again here is that turning to Allah doesn't mean the challenge doesn't remain a challenge, but rather what it means, Allah makes it possible for you to cross it. But the temptation will remain forever. And remember these words is what the Hakim al-Ummah has written, the crave is not evil, to succumb to the crave is evil.
Most definitely, Mullah Salman Mullah, I am so honored and humbled to have you calling on my show. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your du'as. Unfortunately, Hafiz, Rafiq and Maulana Limbada, we've run out of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts.
I have been there to Hafiz Rafiq and I have made so much du'a for him.
Yes,
and the
he's amazing. He's amazing.
You know, they are doing a phenomenal work. If anybody who's dealing with it, because I deal with it in my humble capacity where youth constantly come out and I've visited and I've spoken to youth there.
Yes.
And like Hafiz Hafiz says, it's a vicious circle. You touch one. See, the Quran says, وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. When Samiri instigated the worship of the calf and Musa asked him why, He said, I just want to do it for the thrill, for the kick, for the buzz, for the feel. And that initiated the whole worship of the calf and brought the destruction of that nation. So that fantasy and that crave and that passion and that scream and that call from within to explore and experiment could be detrimental. It can bring a whole empire down.
Definitely, definitely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength, you know, to bring up our children in a manner that Allah will be pleased. Keep us all on Siratul Mustaqim, inshallah. With the holidays approaching, our youth, please just remember, live a life that you will be proud of. Live a life that you know your parents will be proud of. Most importantly, Allah will be proud of you, inshallah. Until we chat again, inshallah, remember us all in your du'as. Mulana Mullah Jazakumullah Khairan again. Mulana Limbada, Hafiz Rafiq, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for the sterling work that you do. I've had the pleasure and, you know, to be in your company. I've seen what you do. I've been at the recovery groups, the support groups. May Allah reward you all in abundance. Jazakum Allahu khairan from me, Sister Bibi Aisha Lahir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.